Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Welcome to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And the topic today is sexual abuse. We will be talking with Susie Remus, and she will be giving us her testimony of a violent act against women, even against men. This is happening, a violent sexual assault. And I know many, many people have been sexually abused as children, maybe even as adults. And we want to draw attention to this topic today. So perhaps if you have a testimony yourself of sexual abuse, or a question or a comment, the phone lines will be open today. The chat room is open, and the call-in number is 646, oh, excuse me, wrong number. Anyway, the live call-in number is 914-338-1638. So those phone lines will be open for you today. But we had a few very interesting things in the news today, this week, actually. The conviction of the baby murder doctor, I don't really call him a doctor. He's a beast. But this is what's going on. And they try to dress up murder. It's interesting to me that this trial in Arizona with the lady Jodi Arias has received so much press coverage, on and on, everyday wall-to-wall coverage of this trial. And although it was a gruesome crime, and I believe she was guilty of first-degree murder, absolutely premeditated. We need to pray for her soul to be saved, because that's the only thing that's going to save this girl, so she'll start telling the truth. But it was interesting to me how much attention that trial got, and the Gosnell trial received very little press attention. It was gruesome. I can't even read the details of what went on there in that torture chamber that they called a medical clinic. And anyway, he was up to receive the death penalty after he was found guilty of murdering these babies in a gruesome manner after they were born. But somehow they made a deal. I don't know why he got a deal, and they gave him life in prison. But that's not the only clinic that's doing these things. This is going on. I would say it's probably going on in many clinics. It's what is murder? Is it murder inside the womb, or is it murder outside the womb? That's very strange, isn't it, that they don't call it murder when the baby's inside the womb, but they call it murder if the baby is born, and then they do these gruesome things to the child. I think it has to be very, very difficult later on for the women that go through these abortions, and they have to live with what happened to their little baby. It's so gruesome. We live in a very strange world. We have this whole investigation now with the being targeted, people being targeted because they don't agree with government policies. But it kind of reminds me in a way, because I myself have been targeted by other people that are in the so-called ministry. But for instance, when we put up a couple videos, and look, I'm not afraid to take these people on. If Mike Murdoch wants to come on my program, he's welcome to come on here. And Paula White, Creflo Dollar, any of these people, they're welcome to come on, and let's have a discussion. Let's talk about some of these heresies and these and the false prophecies and some of the things that they're doing. It would be great if we could have a discussion publicly instead of one time when I posted some videos on YouTube, and Paula White, now she never called me, she never emailed me to talk about it. She just reports me to YouTube like I committed something that was against the law, which I didn't do. Just posted a photograph of her on one of the videos that I did. And apparently she didn't like that. So her and Mike Murdoch reported me to YouTube. And then YouTube, without even asking me about it, they just take your channel down, and then you have to go through this whole process of trying to get it restored. But I wasn't interested in, at that time, taking on Mike Murdoch and Paula White. I just got a new YouTube channel and just forgot about it. But, I mean, these people are cowards. They will not openly discuss things with people. They like to hide behind their celebrity and their fame, but I challenge them to come on this program and let's talk. Let's see if you can prove with scripture the things you're teaching and the things you're doing to the body of Christ to hurt the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring a reproach and shame on the gospel for the money-making schemes and the con artist schemes that you're perpetuating against people. So I welcome the other side. If you have another side, you're welcome to come on here and discuss with me and whoever else calls in or whoever sends me questions. We can talk, and I'm not afraid of confrontation. It doesn't scare me. So I welcome the dialogue, and I think that we have to be, we have to use wisdom, and God's given us this great vehicle of the internet to get our opinions out, whereas before, years ago, you basically, you know, if you were trying to uncover a heresy or a false teacher, it was very difficult to get the word out. And you were really chastised and you were really shunned when you were trying to expose heresy and false teachers. But God has given us the internet for this time. And I can be on here with this program, and I can reach out to whoever is listening anywhere in the world to this broadcast. And I'm free to say whatever I want to say. I'm not worried about politics. I'm not worried about, you know, I don't have pastoritis. I don't care if the pastor likes it. All I care about is if Jesus likes it. If Jesus likes it, then it's fine with me. And as long as I'm staying on the straight and narrow, then I have to answer to God. So I'm not afraid of any man. We boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ here, and we stand up for the truth. And we try to bring people on this program who feel the same way. And like I said, if any of these other people want to come on, they are welcome to come on. Let's talk. Why won't they let us on Christian television to discuss these things? Why won't they have open forums on television and on other well-known radio broadcasts where you can ask the tough questions? Why can't we go on? I would like to go on TBN and talk directly in front of the whole world to Jan and Paul Crouch and Matt Crouch about what they're doing as far as the heresy and the false teachings that they're allowing there, and the scams that they pull with this fundraising and these seed faith offerings and all that, selling the gospel, selling miracles. Come on, take me on, and let's talk. So anyway, I'm going to bring on my guest, Susan Remus.
Remus, hi. Like Uncle Remus. Hi.
How are you? Did I pronounce your name right?
It's like Uncle Remus.
Oh, Remus.
Well,
okay.
Remus. Yeah.
Yeah, Uncle Remus, cool. Right?
Yes, yes. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Song of the South.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to welcome you to our broadcast today. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble hearing you. You're breaking up a little bit.
Let me situate that.
And we want
to
make sure. Okay, I'll let you know if you start breaking up again. Let me.
Okay,
we'll
is that better, Susan?
That seems better, yeah.
Okay.
But we'll have to see how it goes once we start talking so that we make sure that we get good sound today. And,
good. Yeah, this is my cell phone. I don't have a landline. So.
Yeah, sometimes you have to stand in a certain place. You know how that goes to pick up a good signal. But anyway, I wanted to just share with the listeners a little bit about your testimony. You've been born again since the 70s. Serving God, and then this horrible thing happened to you. So just share with the listeners a little bit about your testimony of when you came to the Lord, and then how did it happen that you were so violently attacked? Did I lose you?
Oh, there I am. Hello. I don't know how this blog talk radio works, so I'm still new to this.
Okay, so yeah, just go ahead and talk. I wanted to know about your testimony. How did you come to the Lord, and how did it happen that you were so violently attacked?
Yes. Well, I came to the Lord.
You're breaking up again. Okay, you're breaking up, so I can't hear you.
Place. Let me start coming over a little bit. There you go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. Now you're breaking up.
Oh, dear. I may have to call you back.
Maybe
in.
You should call me back, or let maybe I can. No, you better call me. Try to call
yeah,
in again.
I'll,
hang up and
yeah,
call
I'll
in.
Yeah, I'll call in. All
okay.
Right, thanks. I'll do that. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, Brother Vincent. Hi, Brother Vincent. Black by Color Only is in the chat room, and check out his program. You'll enjoy it so very, very much. He has a program on Blog Talk Radio, and he's got a great point of view about things. You know, we've done some program. We actually did a program on racial reconciliation not too long ago, And it was a great program. Something that we definitely still need a lot of work on. Yeah, amen. Thanks, Brother Vincent. But we're all trying to get over our prejudice. We're all working on it, aren't we? So it's something that needs to be worked on because the body of Christ is one. And we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's the important thing. So I'm going to bring my guest back on. Let's see if she's got a better connection this time. Hi, Susie.
Hi, there. Hi.
Okay.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah, that's better now. You're not breaking up. If you start breaking up, I'll just let you know.
Okay, super. Well, my story is such that I grew up in a Christian family, had a lot of problems, you know, during my childhood. But I came to know the Lord completely when I was 14, and I remember the date. It was August 25th of 1974.
Oh.
So I've been a believer for a long time, so I've gone through quite a bit in that period of time. God has transformed me completely to be a different person. But in my as I get older, I still see that other person that I don't like very much cropping up, you know, even in all that time. But
man always tries to resurrect himself.
Like I don't like that girl. Is it like
no,
you
I don't like that.
Yourself?
I don't like it either. But occasionally, somebody knows how to push that button to get you in the flesh, right?
Yeah. It's funny. You just walk beside that person. And you see that person in the mirror sometimes. You're like, get away.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, to the topic, when I was in my, like I said, I was 19 to 20, I was actually in an apartment. I had moved I'm from Denver, Colorado. I went to school there. Then I went to college in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, I got saved in Redstone, Colorado.
In where?
Redstone, Colorado.
Really? Because
yeah,
I
that's where
up
I
the
was
mountain
saved.
For me. Yep.
Yeah, that's where I got saved.
Wonderful. Yep. I was over there in Estes Park.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I love Colorado.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Beautiful.
And then,
yeah,
my choice was to go to college, to a Bible college in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It was great Bible college.
Uh-huh.
And from there, I joined a street theater company or a theater company called Lamb's Players. And that's in San Diego. And they're very well known. I mean, they have a theater company now on Coronado Island. But at that time, way back then in the early days of Lamb's Players, it was specifically ministry and going out and preaching the gospel. So I was part of a street theater that went around at prisons, campuses, parks, and so on all around the country.
Yeah.
But in my very beginning, I was in an apartment with two other girls who happened to be on they were in the mine troop, and they happened to be, you know, traveling around, you know, in the country. And so I was alone in this new apartment, and a man had come in my apartment, and I was attacked then.
For what? I mean, how did he get in?
I do not know. To this day, I do not know.
Oh, so he was, were you, do you come home and find him?
I was actually asleep in my bed. I was asleep, and all of a sudden, I was like, you know, thinking there was a cat there or something, like a black cat, you know. And I kind of went like this, and it was somebody there, you know. Someone was there, very strong.
So you don't know how he got in. Was the door open or a window? Were you on the first floor?
No. I was on the first floor, and I don't know how he got in, even to this day. I mean, maybe I blocked it out, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I blocked it out. But, so he, you know, he came, maybe he locked up after himself. I don't know.
He could have been a maintenance, had the keys.
I don't know. I have no idea. But he came to, I felt it was definitely a man's arm, and it was, he was very strong.
Wow.
And just
horrifying.
Yeah, I never moved because he had me so that I couldn't see him. I never saw his face.
Oh.
Yes.
So he didn't have a mask on or anything. He was
I never saw his face. Just strong.
Wow. Did he have a weapon?
He said he did. He said he had a gun.
Oh.
And I don't know. It was touching my head, but I don't know if it was true or not. You know, I just froze in shock. But what came out of my mouth? Only thing came out of my mouth was Jesus.
Yeah.
I said, Jesus. And several times. And he says, what? And I said, Jesus. And, he did not completely rape me. I don't know. Some people probably go through this. But, you know, he's just fondling me or whatever. You know, and I was saying that. And I is a very strange person.
Thank God.
I know. But
that
still,
was a miracle.
You know, yeah, it was a miracle. Is a miracle. It really was. And the rest of the miracle is that me and my ways, pretty trusting and, you know, vivacious, but I had him repeat my phone number because I wanted to tell him about Jesus. Can you believe it? No, I can't believe it. But that's what I did.
Wow.
So I, you know, he left. He said, do not turn around. I didn't. So he left.
How long was he there? Do you know how long he was actually there?
It must have been at least, I would say, 15 minutes, maybe.
Oh, so that was, wow. So thank God.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's really a miracle.
But it's a miracle in that I trusted God more than I trusted him or myself. You see, I trusted God alone. And Jesus is the name, you know, that saves you. So
that's right, the name above all names.
Uh-huh. And it's interesting that now, you know, I'm going back and talking about a little bit is Jesus is the way to salvation. But, I mean, Jesus came to my mind. Who better to cry out to? But in the sense that I said Jesus for that man to know. You know what I'm saying? That it was more of a reach out to him than a reach out for me for salvation. I mean, I already have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So looking back on it, it's really a miracle. And so I didn't call the cops or anything like that. I mean, I was 19 or 20. And, you know,
a lot of that happens where
I know.
A lot of rapes, potential rapes and actual rapes, they don't get reported. That is a big statistic.
No, and I totally understand why, because I was too afraid to do anything.
Oh.
And I think I may have called somebody from my, you know, from the Lambs Players to, you know, to be near me, or I don't know, maybe I just made my way to work that day.
Yeah, you know, because he would be afraid that he was going to come back.
Yeah, I don't know the chain of events. You know, it's like even at that age, you forget things. You know, you think little childhood, you're going to forget things. That's good. But, but that's what happened. And I was not welcomed with, I believe this, you know. I don't think anybody really believed me. I don't.
That's a funny thing.
I found out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does happen because I know a friend of mine. She had gone to a doctor, and the doctor molested her. And when she went to tell other people, they wouldn't believe it because they said, "Oh no, he's a nice doctor."
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
And I know that does happen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even people that I know of.
I still find it hard to believe. You know.
Yeah,
it's true. I mean, if somebody told me
true.
That they were raped, I believe them. Trust me, I would believe them.
Yeah, why
now.
Are you going to make up a story like that? And even when children, the school that we went to when I was growing up, it was a Catholic school, And there was a pervert. There was two perverts there. There was a pervert priest and there was a pervert janitor used to go around molesting the children. And even they, it took over 10 years. Finally, the janitor was arrested and put in, and he died in prison because he was raping a little boy there at the school. But can you imagine that this was going on all this time? And when some of the children tried to tell, nobody would believe it.
Nobody would listen.
So it does
go
on.
And I believe that there are symptoms, now that I'm thinking about it, there are symptoms that people go through that have, you know, that have gone through the
panic
trauma.
Panic attacks are one of them. Did you have
also,
panic attacks?
Panic attacks, definitely. But not being able to complete a sentence. So if you've got these kids and they're trying to tell and they're getting cut off and they can't talk, they're not going to be heard.
No, they won't be heard. There
really
was another case of a ministry here in Florida where the father, the founder of the ministry, I guess he was already in his late 70s, and it was reported about 3 years ago that he had molested, there was an allegation anyway, that he had been molesting a girl since she was 11, and it went on for 3 years.
Wow.
So the police never filed charges against him, but there was a lawsuit that was filed against the ministry from the girl and the girl's family because she was still an adolescent. But and so what happened then? The ministry just went ahead and settled it. Now, if you're innocent of an accusation of molesting someone, there's no way that I am paying somebody off if I didn't do it. I'm going to go to court, and I'm going to fight for my good name and my reputation. But no, they paid the girl off for her silence, and then they actually came to the church. My friend was attending the church at the time, and she told me that they said, oh, it all went away, you know, it's all fixed. They never even told the congregation that they had paid the girl off for her silence. So
they
these
paid by
on.
Silence is what they did. It's really sad. People do things, and they will protect themselves. And that's
I don't know why anybody wants to
protect themselves.
A child molester. Why does anybody want to protect a child molester or a
people
rapist?
People are like that. Yeah, people are like that, and there's different ways of abusing children. I mean, I'm going through that right now. You know, I'm going through that right now with my children. So,
well, the thing is, you see, there are those symptoms too, the panic attacks. And you don't, sometimes you don't realize why you're having these panic attacks, but because you're in a panic when these things are happening. And I imagine that we went to this school, and we were at this school for 5 years. You know, after we knew that the priest and the janitor were molesting children, and we had to go to that school every day. And we lived in fear.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened to you. You then had to live in fear for a long time and really deal with that fear and that anxiety.
You know, there was a good outcome, and something that really impressed me as being beautiful was that, this man who had memorized my phone number, which I thought was amazing because I can't memorize nothing, he called me back. He actually called me back. And I told him that to never come by again. Just, you know, I didn't know who he was, but I did tell him, get yourself a Bible, get a Bible, and read John. Read whatever you like, please. And but don't come back here. But I did notice, like, the next day or two that something was by my window, you know, and I felt like I bet it was him, and it scared me.
Yeah.
And he called me back again, and I confronted him saying, was that you? What, did you do that? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, that's all. Do not. And I said, but I want to read you something. Did you get a Bible? You know, did you look at it? And I said, I want you to read, I'm going to read something to you. So I went to 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter in the Bible. And I started reading it to him. And I completely read it, and I said, this is what God is. This is what true love is. And he, you know, he broke down. I mean, he cried. He said, I believe in the Lord Jesus. So he became a believer that day. I am absolutely 100% sure of that. And I never heard from him again, never saw him again, and that was it.
Wow.
I did have a wonderful, there was a wonderful couple in Lamb's Players that believed me and talked to me about it. And my friend, he called him, what was his name? But he gave him a name that meant friend in a different language. It's Emul or something like that, E-M-U-L or something like that. But it was a name that meant friend. So he had a name, and so this couple were supportive of me, and I'll never forget that. So there's the two things: is he walked away a believer without people, you know, believing me, even in my, you know, Christian brothers and sisters, but this couple did, and they were extremely supportive.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yep, and
that is amazing
then,
because you didn't, you know. The average person would be afraid. Like, who wants to talk to this person? You don't want to talk to this person.
I know, and I was strong. I was strong, you know?
Yeah, you were. Because
yep.
Who wants to lead somebody? Really, you don't really want to ever see that person. You don't want to hear their voice. You just don't want anything more to do with them. So,
well, and then,
that had
then
to be
I was
God.
Anticipating. Yeah, it was God, because I anticipated, and I didn't know if he would, but he did, and I took the bull by the horns, and I did preach Jesus, you know, unconditionally, completely. And so that was that experience. That was in San Diego. But then when I left Lamb's Players, I moved to another theater, you know, to another ministry in San Francisco. And that's when another chain of events took place. So that's where, you know, that's a whole different story and a whole different set of circumstances that was pretty brutal. But I did pretty much the same thing. I had the same reaction. I don't know if you want to hear about that.
Well, yeah, if you want to tell the story, go on.
Yeah. Well, this is, I guess I was more like 23. I was 22, and I went to San Francisco, and this is called the Oak Street House. The ministry was still continuing now in the Haight-Ashbury district.
Oh.
And I came there to start a ministry like San Francisco Mime Troupe, you know, or Lamb's Players Street Theater, where you go out in the, you know, parks, prisons. And
oh, yeah, well, that's big in San Francisco because they have a lot of entertainment in the parks.
Right, exactly. And and I ended up choosing to go to school for theater. I was in theater at the, now it's a huge venue, which is the, let's see, it's over by the red. Here I am, I'm lost for words. At the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we,
I've been there, so there's a park there.
Right.
Yeah,
and there's a beautiful, the big theatrical and performing arts center, that's where I went to school with the San Francisco Theater.
Oh, wow! Team. Yeah, that's nice.
And I also had a job with a friend. I was his only employee, and this was at the Clay House. And it was very near where I was living with my roommates. It was on Sadoa, so it was a different area altogether. And I relied on, you know, the public transportation, which is fantastic in San Francisco. So
cars.
Yes, it's perfect. I mean, I sold my car for $75 and, you know, bought a ticket, couple of tickets, you know.
Oh, yeah, San Francisco, it's beautiful.
Right.
It really is.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
been a long time. I don't remember when I was there. It was in, I guess, the 80s when I was there sometime.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's beautiful.
Too. Early 80s. 80s.
Yeah.
And I just remember the name of the school was in, it's called Fort Mason. And now it's
okay.
Big, huge. You know, but Fort Mason was nothing but let's rent a couple, you know, rooms there. You know, just plain old rooms. And so anyway, I was taking the bus back home, and my friend's business and I, it was called the Clay House. So I was going to check on the kilns. We were baking mostly castles. We were building castles. And I think these are mostly for aquariums and so on, or just beauty and other things. But I was going to check on the kilns before I went home, which was just a few blocks away, you know, from the Clay House. So I got off the bus, and it was pretty late, and I was going over there getting, you know, and getting ready to just do that. And I kind of noticed in my left peripheral that there was some motion there, and I thought, oh, my gosh, let me get over here and get my key in the door. Well, I went to put my key in the door, and it was the wrong door.
Oh.
It was the one next to it. So I went to my door, and I was opening it, and that's when there was a man right there.
Oh.
And, yep, he had a knife, and so I had just opened it, and he forced me into the Clay House. And he did have a knife, and that was extreme. That was extreme, something I had never anticipated. And, of course, I think that is the way for rapes that are violent like this. There's nothing you can do to prepare for something like that.
No.
No. And so he proceeded
to... And it's really
hard
to fight these people off.
Oh, you can. When they have a weapon like that?
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing...
And they're bigger and stronger than you, too.
Well, usually, yes. I mean, he was a little bit bigger, but not much, you know. Not a whole lot, but still, he's a man. And, you know, so he went in the back, and it was too bright. The lights were too bright, you know. And there, so we had an upstairs loft, and he took me up there. And in the meanwhile, it was light, so he reached up and turned the light bulb, so it went off. You know, so there was some light below, but there was no light up there.
Yeah.
And this is where he proceeded to, just I didn't realize it, but like beat me up, and, you know, rip my clothes off and so on, and tried to get me to do things, which is funny. I was like, no, I won't. No, I'm not going to do that. And so very interesting, but there were some things that happened that weren't, you know, that were horrible that I think about. But he was successful and, you know, he did rape me. And when that was happening, it was unbelievable, but I sang to him. And my good friend, I had just met him not too long before this, and he taught me a song to Psalm 23, his version, and it, the Lord is my shepherd, and this was James Sundquist, great friend. And this song, I remembered word for word, note for note, and I sang it to this man as he was raping me. And I felt my spirit or whatever kind of came out of me, like not out of body experience maybe, but I just felt like I was up and, you know, I could see what was going on or hear, but I was singing. And, everything was over. The guy left. He said, you know, and he was holding that, you know, knife to my neck at one certain point. And
yeah.
I believe that he would have cut off my voice. I do believe that.
Yeah.
But God spared me my voice, and I was able to sing to him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Beautiful, beautiful song. And he left, and he threatened me too. Same thing, do not call the police, or I will come back and get you, or whatever, you know, whatever threat that might have been, I guess. I was very afraid of him. So I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, and I called my partner, you know, Dave. I called him and said what had happened, and his father and mother came to get me. And, I remember them bringing me blankets, wrapping them around me, taking me home,
yeah.
You know. And I didn't talk to them but too long ago, too. I talked to him about, 6 months ago on the phone, and he was a pastor.
Uh-huh.
Yes, Jim Robinson. And he remembered some of that that went on that I didn't remember, like bringing the blankets and, taking care of me.
Yeah.
So they took me home, but, they're saying, call the police. And I said, I would not, because I was too afraid. So one of my roommates called the police. She said, I'm calling the police, so you can't lie. It was me. So here, put the phone in my, in front of me. And so I was taken care of, by victim protection or whatever that is that what they do.
Yeah.
The hospital.
Yeah.
And I was, taken to the hospital and well taken care of there. So the situation kept going on because this man was actually, they found this man. I went to the police and talked about it. And he was found and convicted for 7 rapes.
Oh.
There could have been a lot more. I'm sure there
probably
was more.
Oh, there probably was.
Yeah, but with my case, they found his fingerprints on that light bulb.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, because they didn't have DNA. They didn't have DNA, did they, back then?
No, they didn't. But they had his fingerprints
on
my light bulb. So mine was the last rape.
Oh.
Thank God. You see, God stopped it right then and there.
Yes.
Yep. And so, of course, I don't know other people. I have fear. I still, to this day, I have dreams, nightmares of black men. These were both black men, and I'm not prejudiced or nothing. Believe me, I'm colorblind. But I still I have this an aversion to light bulbs, to keys, especially bent ones, to keys. Get them in the door.
Oh.
Many things, hit me, like black cats, which I had one, but I still have forgiven so much that these things can be endearing in a way. And yet, I'm always aware of it. And here I am 54 now, 54 years old, and it's still a part of my life.
Yeah.
And but let me tell you, James Sunquist, that song, I have never stopped singing it all these years, and I've always wondered about James and what had happened. And I have the original that he had written out for me. I'm pretty sure it's in pencil. And I sang it with guitar to, lead the Oak Street House in worship a few times. So
this man was convicted and sent to prison for life?
Yes. No, for 90 years. That's a long time. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's
And
life.
I can never get away from him either as far as his name and my recognition, because his last name is Prince, like Prince of Peace.
Yeah. And so were you able to see his face and identify him, or it was just from the fingerprints?
No, I did. And it was kind of in a weird way, because back then, and whatever the circumstance was, is that these men were in a room and they had like 6 of them, this little slit like cardboard that, were looking through that. And it was intimidating because these people could look at your eyes,
Oh.
And I'm saying, no, I don't, maybe. But on the way home, the person that was my, my defender, she, they asked me, because you had said you thought number, what number it was. So did you? And I said, yeah, it was number 2. That's what I thought. But I said, this thing with the cardboard and whatever, that was totally intimidating. So I,
Yeah, that's awful.
So, they made note of that, and it ended up being that.
To do to victims.
I know.
And then if you go, no, I didn't know this until about a year or so ago, but I found out that if you have been molested and then you go to court, or if you file a lawsuit against the person that molested you, and then they actually, the attorneys for the molester have the right to, you have to have a psychiatric exam. And they make you go to have
You're
a psychiatric.
Kidding.
I'm not kidding. No.
Don't want
you
to be raped? Oh, my God.
After you've been raped or molested, that the attorneys for the rapist and the molester are able to further abuse you by demanding that you go to a psychiatrist and have a psychiatric evaluation.
Jeez, I can understand that. Oh, my gosh. That's
it's terrible.
You know?
It's terrible. And then, so in order to proceed with any kind of a lawsuit against a rapist or a molester, you have to they're allowed to do these kind of things to the victim.
Yeah. And so what it does is it strings things on and on and on, and
yeah,
the chances of seeing that person or whatnot, you know, is gonna be, you know, is possible. So you'd walk around in fear and feel
yeah,
like
there's
you were
a lot
not
of fear
in
involved.
Any way, shape or form. That's not good.
No, it's not
gotten
good.
Worse,
it's not good
sure.
Because you have to keep being victimized. And then, of course,
yeah,
you see these rape trials where the victim has to testify, and then they put the victim on trial. Oh, she did this, mm-hmm, and she did that, and it has nothing to do with the actual event of the rape. Why they're allowed to do that, I think that's
yeah,
why so many people get away with rape, because it's
yeah,
so awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the person, the victim, sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. The victim is put in a place of being, having to defend themselves when
yeah, exactly,
they're the ones that should be defended. You know, they should be.
Yeah, at all costs. Now,
defended, they're
did you have to go to court? Did you go to court at all to testify?
Yeah, for that particular one, because there were seven women and we all testified.
Oh,
and the only
testified
thing about that, yeah, and I think our, you know, the attorney, the district attorney, was protective, definitely protective of us.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
And the only thing that we saw, you know, that I was warned against is that there would be words changed around, you know, where I really had to be aware of what the questions were and answer them, but I had to be very careful that they would switch words around.
Yeah.
Like they'd say, when you switched off the light bulb, or, you know, I don't know the exact thing, but they would say,
so you did this,
or was he, you know, could you, you couldn't see his face in the light, and then you'd say, yes, you know what I'm saying, instead
yeah,
of thinking about it, you know, and say, no, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, James yeah, Sundquist is in the chat room.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, he's in the chat room, so
I
wish he'd call in.
Oh.
But, yeah, it would be great
yeah,
if he would call
in. James.
Yeah,
call
James.
In.
Call in.
Come on.
Come on,
call
James.
I would love to hear your part of the stories that, you know, what you remember from San Francisco and that you never realized and that you, this is what he told me, because I did, you know.
Oh, so you met James in San Francisco.
Yes, but when I finally contacted him recently, he had recorded this song, and his wife had, she had arranged it, and he sent it to me. I sent him the song that I had just sang quickly
yeah,
to him, and he sent me that song, and I thought it was me. I mean, that girl that recorded the song sounded just like me. I couldn't believe it. I said, did I do that? But that was a God thing. I think he really was loving on me by showing me that this is this beautiful song and that that is exactly what I sang.
So the man then was convicted and you've never heard
convicted
from
90 years.
Yeah.
But I recently looked up on the internet and I know that he's still in prison somewhere in California.
Oh, yeah. Well, he needs
yep,
to stay there.
Yeah,
I mean,
unless
God saves these people,
well,
they need
I'd
to be locked up. Because
I'd really
these,
like to find out.
Yeah, these people, these violent crimes against women, it's awful. And it happens so much more to women than to men. It happens a lot to children because, you know, children are, we're so, when you're a child, you're just so innocent and you just don't think that there's these bad people. Nowadays, though, children are better educated, but children still go. You know, they still go in cars with these people. They still manage to go look for the puppy or the
mm-hmm,
the candy or whatever. They still are able to lure children away
mm-hmm,
from their families. But
You know, well, I do remember when I was about five, that some guy was, like, trying to get us to go in a car with him.
Yeah.
And that was, like, ridiculous. I think that all kind of ended, you know. Who knows what happened, but I remember
that. Well,
it
happens a lot. You know, you see these...
Or voyeuristic, you know, you see somebody and they open... It's true.
That's it. You, well, you know.
Break. It's like, don't, you know, that's not good.
We had... I remember one time I was walking to school. I think I was in either junior high or high school, and I was walking to the bus stop, and I looked up. I was just walking. There was two family houses in my neighborhood, and I was looking up, walking down the street. I looked up in a window, and there was a man in the window, and he was half undressed. You know, so these are people that they know your movements. He knew probably that I was going to be walking down the street because I used to walk down that street every day to go catch my bus. And I never told anybody, which I should have. I should have. But,
under a big umbrella of this sex sin, you know, big, huge umbrella of sex sin, something that we've never, you know, that we've been haunted with and Satan has used in our faces.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it does leave, it does leave its marks. And like yourself, you said that James said that he couldn't hear the show today because he's producing his wife's children's show this afternoon. But he says, God bless you both.
Thank you. You know, that is so amazing because I love that he's going that direction. And he did say that this was kind of me and him meeting again was showing him that he need to go back to music. Concentrate on that. And that delighted.
Yeah.
So delighted.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. And
he's a good brother, real good brother.
He
but, you know, there's a lot of, I know people don't realize, like we were saying, the repercussions and the things that happen later, the panic attacks and the fear and the, like you said, you still have fear of certain things and certain people because it brings back those memories. It's hard to really... I mean, only by the blood of Jesus and by the grace and mercy of God can we recover from
and
abuse.
And really, sometimes there is no recovery. You just assimilate it into your life.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, still, you know, I've got some great friends or I actually lean towards talking to black men. I don't know what it is. But there's always something in you that, yes, I can forgive, but that it seems to be like a ministry. It's
well,
like a
there
ministry.
Was a, I know this
very
one, when we were at the school and there was the priest and the janitor, the priest used to wear a certain cologne. And sometimes when I would go out and if I would, you know, I could smell it. And it's not a cologne that everybody wears, but I would smell it and I would be really repulsed. You know, it would bring back those memories of these weirdos that we had to grow up with in our school. And who thinks? I mean, our parents sent us off to school every day and we were in a Catholic school with priests and nuns and you trust. But parents, don't trust your children with anybody. I don't care who it is.
No. No, I definitely understand that.
You have to be careful
that.
With the doctor and the dentist and the whoever. But you have to be careful. The youth pastor, whoever. You need to be careful with your children.
Yeah.
Very careful. Don't let them alone in rooms with adults.
No.
There's been many cases of doctors like that. They get the children alone, and they don't want the parents in the room. But parents have to be diligent because there's some really creepy people out there.
Yeah.
And
even now I'm victimized. I mean, I think when people call you, oh, you're playing the victim. Well, there is such a thing as a victim, you know, and it's like,
well,
even
it
a victim,
never happened to them.
Say that.
Yeah, it never happened to them. It's hard to understand. It's
no,
just
but they
like
just tell you that. They'll outright say, you're playing the victim, and I'm not going to buy into that. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. You know? And
well, you're,
like,
making you're making a bad confession. You know, people will say that. But this is a part of life. These are things that happen to people. It's just like when you have a loved one that's sick, And you can't really understand what somebody else is going through unless you've gone through the experience. You can't really, you can feel people, compassion for people, and you can feel their pain. But if you yourself have gone through this type of an experience, then you can really have compassion for people.
Yeah.
And you can understand, you can say, okay, I really understand that because I went through that too. So
yeah.
It's just like yourself. Yeah. Other, and then, you know, the well-meaning Christians, I guess, or maybe some that aren't well-meaning, then they want to re-victimize you again because they can't,
yeah.
they don't want to feel your pain. Instead of trying
yeah.
to say, okay, I can feel compassion for her. Oh, because, yeah, it's
only
pretty
so
traumatic
far.
To have a knife held to your throat and have somebody raping you. Yeah, that's pretty traumatic. So
yeah, and plus, you know, I don't talk about it. But you know, as I go now that you remind me, as I go through my life, I get it done to me over and over again because I know what it feels like. And then I have a brother Christian who turns their back on me for whatever reason. They have no idea what my life experience has been to come to this point. And even
yeah.
if they did know, they wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't even associate that. So, you know, being victimized, you can be victimized in many ways. You know, you can be
yeah.
a victim of a type of flu that's coming around, you know.
Well, that's true.
You know, just
you can
give it a bad connotation.
In any way, but that's
yeah.
the thing is for the body of Christ to have compassion for people and to try to
yeah.
and try to identify with what they're going through so you can minister to people because that's our job is to minister to people, to heal the brokenhearted, to set
yes.
the captives free and to show people the love and mercy and grace of God. But we just have about 3 minutes left here today.
Okay. Yeah.
And I just want you to close out in prayer, if you would,
now,
please,
that sounds
Susie.
Rude. How about I close in prayer by singing that beautiful song?
Okay, yeah.
Would you like that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Got that
Amen.
One down pat.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Yep.
He maketh me
he
to
makes
lie
me
down
lie
in green pastures.
In green pastures.
That's
he makes
right.
me lie down. Isn't that
he
beautiful?
He restores my soul. That is. That is. Everyone
so
get
I
your Bible out
that.
Today and read some. The 23rd Psalm, because it is comforting. Yes, and Brother Vincent writes that when you're going through something, beware of Job's friends.
Yes, yes, amen.
Well,
Job's
yeah,
friends.
We know about Job's comforters, but
well.
Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. So we don't, we go on. But I want to thank you for Vincent, Brother Vincent said, great song and voice.
Oh, Brother Vincent, thank you. I love Jesus. He did that. He kept
yeah.
my voice. He let me keep my voice.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on today
thank
and
you,
sharing
Susan.
Your testimony. And we just want to believe that many people will be helped today through your story.
Thank you so much, Susan, for
okay,
your ministry.
Okay, we'll be in touch. Okay, yeah.
All right.
Thank you, too.
All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today. And remember, Jesus Christ loves you. Give your life to Jesus today. Repent of your sins. Ask for Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come into your life and be born again and have a brand new life, and old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. We want to let you know that, yes, this is a very serious topic we talked about today, violence against women. And we want to see some of this violence stop. And the only way that it can be stopped is for people to be born again so they won't commit these crimes. We want to thank you for tuning in today. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.